And I often think of what St. Paul said, I am a citizen of no mean city. But I often feel that, having originated from the Glengarvan area, I am a citizen of no mean country, you know what I mean? I go back to the place quite often, and it has, of course, it's a beautiful place. There are many parts of Kerry that are beautiful, but the Glengarvan area is beautiful in a quieter way. It hasn't, for instance, the ruggedness of parts of the Kenmare area, or even West Kerry. And it's not now very deeply populated. You get, you know, ranging from 3 to 6 houses on the sides of the different mountains. And what struck me and what strikes me as I go down there is that the place, the physical aspect of that area must have changed very little in the past 2,000 years. If you were to remove the houses from the side of the mountain, I think that, shall we say, the militians who arrived there 2,000 years ago, when they come back now, he would see very little difference in the area.
This is the middle of the valley of Glenlea. We're about 5 miles from Kilgarvan. At our back here, across the mountains, lies Kenmare. Right in front of us, brown, heather-coloured mountains. Here and there, slabs of rock peeping out through the heather. All along the sides of the mountains, down by the foot of the mountains, and down towards the Rochtie River, there are trees. Spruce, pine, all these have been planted by the Forestry Department. One can see miles across the valley here. Over there on a hill, there are sheep moving. And there are some cows there also, Black Kerry cows. There's probably a shepherd over there too, but one can't see him. Sometimes they use binoculars to observe the sheep and observe the neighbouring hills. Round about the hills are scattered the houses. The houses are hidden amongst little clumps of fir and spruce. And it's only the smoke that gives away the presence of a house. Just over here, to the left, is Phil Hayton's cottage. This is a young man who came from England a few years ago, and he now lives here with his wife, an American. Further up the mountain road is Coombe, with what is supposed to be the highest pub in Ireland, but there are a number of these in the country. Beneath us, and possibly you can hear the sound of the river in the background, is the River Rochtie, the river that runs right, slashes its way right through the middle of the valley. Right through the middle of the valley of Glenlea. We're on our way up to the house of the Horgans, Seamus and Ned Horgan.
Who are they? I don't know, you know, they're often changing a lot, they're getting old.
That's good. You're the only man that my man's had to sing in.
I am Clifton.
They're often getting old, no one. They don't care about dance or anything.
Party, you
or carting. And they don't see each other but seldom. They don't go to their lane and they couldn't go out to the houses and to have a night together there or anything. Oh, it was straight to the window all day long. It didn't go off the panes of the window, I'm telling you the truth. And I couldn't see it through the window, but I wasn't sitting in bed in the window, it was outside me. And I thought it would kill us all together. So, here the next day, it was gone away. And I had a fine bright window the next morning. And I'd be asking every day, is the parish gone? Will it rain and all them things? I'd like to have it go for twas perishing. Twas the worst frost I ever see. You know, and we would be out in snow and freshing we young and making snowmen and everything, and you'd be lighting hat. And you'd be young when you're working.
But the snow up here is a problem.
Oh,
when it snows, you're isolated up here.
You are. In this yard here, in this yard. For the sun can't shine it in the north, turn to the north, no. But if you would have it turned to the south, you would have a grand sun in the wind if you wanted melted up. That's the way it was here in this perishing, watery, frosty yard.
You had a marriage recently in the area. Tell me about the marriage.
Dan.
Yes.
Oh, he's gone mad. Well, oh, he's gone away to...
Clondrohod.
Clondrohod, yes. To this woman, and you know, she's hardy and nice, but tis no good for Dan, ain't nice enough about it all. Dan is wild out, and you couldn't keep talk with Dan. And then he's drinking to the bad way to be. And when he'll be drunk, then he don't care about the woman, but let her be perished. Let her be perished.
She so wants it.
He do carry her in that place, but now he left her over there in his cousin's house all the time in the cold, cold weather, and he could tell to go to some pub.
What age is the woman?
I think she's 72 or 73.
Yes.
I'm sure, look at the class that's getting married that
she's only 71. Yeah.
She's only 71?
Yes.
Ah, 71. She is.
And what age is he? He's not as old as...
He's a young, loose man, strong. Himself says he's 45, but I think he's 47 or something. What he said... Oh, he said before he got married, I'm with 45 years inside the bed alone. And I can't sleep a wink now. That's what he said, Dan. He's all that carrying on now. He is. So we'd be doing laughing at him. I'm afraid he'll kill the woman. That's what I would. He will.
He will.
Yeah. And yeah. You know, this is the third time we're getting married. But there's a lot of that kind getting married now.
The first half year that we were married, I scarcely got one hour to rest. She'd pinch my chin bones to the blood attracted, saying, dear husband, are you asleep? I was a wonder, what was the matter? She says, dear husband, come. For women, where's the most pleasure? And the poor man's labour was never done.
Here, here.
Hi. Back when I saw it 10 years.
Well, that's the change of life now in those localities above that time. That time it was something grand, you see. That was a grand crowd in the greens that time. And when you could go home, you'd have our girlfriend language, and you could convey her to her door and turn back and go out a bit for something. Well, that's not the way it all now.
You couldn't manage to near the door for fear the dog had barked.
That's a fact, Dad.
You just follow
your mother. Oh, you would, then you would, you would.
There was always a tradition of poutine making in Kilgarvan. In fact, it's probably the only place in Kerry where
there is a little bit making all the time there.
Is that the way?
Out in the wilds of mountains that you can go towards it.
Would you know how to get a bottle yourself now, sir?
To start to get it. There's so much of a match in it.
The guards are too vigilant.
They are, and the squad is with them, and you have no hope. And they're escaping if there was any suspicion at all. They'd hop down, you would say, and you were still. And carry it for to tell.
Were you ever caught making it yourself?
Oh, no, but I was long as I was making it, and they were never caught. Oh, you may be sure that if you drank a glass and a half of it and to sit down there, you'd stay there for maybe 4 or 5 or 6 hours before to recover again, for to go home.
Would I fall asleep?
You would fall asleep too. Wouldn't that be a good whiskey? And you know what I do? I drink a full bottle of the red whiskey in old Paddy. And I'd walk out the door there and come in again and sit down here, and I would never ever have a drink. That's the positive fact now for you. There's no laughing, you're cutting the diddles.
The crystal wrap comes from the steel to cure all sores and ailments, to cure the yellow janders, both scarlet and measles. It banish heart diseases from the lung, drive inflammation from the soul, to drive the devil from the heart, to drive temptation as gomeration cruise genus be on.
Yeah, yeah. How
are
you
going to
do?
I tell
you,
that was good stuff, Patty.
I mix a sample of butter on this barrel myself for the, our own use, but not at present because there is no milk by the cows now. But it is nicer butter than the creamery butter. It always was. But we make a small sample of it.
How long have you been making the butter here?
We were making it for a long time until those schemes came out. We gave it over then, you see.
Yes.
And the wine of the calves, and we give the milk to the calves. Keep all the calves and give them the milk. Milk the cow and give them the milk.
This, in fact, is a little dairy here attached to the house.
That's right.
How long does it take to make butter with this machine?
Yeah, it wouldn't take long. It didn't take no more than half an hour to make 9 or 10 pounds of butter. That's what we have for the week.
It was very jolly. That was jolly.
I was happy with the flowers of May. I tell you that much. That's the happiness.
My pal.
They're all right.
And
they have plenty of money, every one of them.
Never was one of them an alcoholic. Because was too far away, and that was great help. If you're an alcoholic, then no matter what it is,
they wouldn't bite anyway.
They'd come home having enough drink and more than enough. One day, you think to go to come on the blind side of them.
What do you think about the television and radio and all these new?
We are trying to put it out of the house lately. This woman, especially,
why?
And I don't mind because they are doing too much bad work there.
What sort of bad work?
Oh, we're doing the casting. We're doing the casting.
They're so savage. The way they strike each other so much.
Yes. Is there too much sex on the television?
Yes.
There isn't such a fish.
Well,
do
you know, I want to tell the truth. For young people, it shouldn't be carried on. And indeed, I was not saying, but I...
There should be no sex for young people.
It should carry on too much for a young person.
You see,
indeed, I tell you that you should carry us better than that when I was young.
The only thing I see about them is the way they beat each other. It's a scandal, you know. It's very bad, you know, giving bad example to the people, to everybody else.
I think I'm going to lead and ask myself. I don't hear it, ma'am, that I held it in the old times to get a field with a fall of ground and to get 15 or 16 old women, very, very fat old women, and put them running your ass down with the fall of ground. That's regular in all times. Rick Halila Farnick.
Racing old women?
Yes, Rick Halila Farnick. That's one of the name of it.
And what do you want to put all women racing for?
But someone I'd win the prize like any other race or anything.
Yes.
Indeed, I would.
They might get heart attacks.
That's right.
But it would be nice and funny, you know.
It's probably all women you don't like you want to put racing in.
That wouldn't go off. Half of them that be attached to our heels, you know. That's what the sport.
Oh, that never happened.
It did. It did indeed. The old people had that one all the time. The Kalila Farnick, one of the biggest sports they had.
Is that the way? What age are you now?
I'm 77.
How do you think to spend the rest of your life?
That's the hard question. I saw this old woman. I have a wife and married. Didn't I got another woman?
You take on another woman.
They're all going off now, getting the divorce, and fast good and having a colonel like me, Lord, that I want women and help now better than I ever got.
You want more women?
I want more women and help if they do any work for me. If I got them like that one long ago, I'd get sucking one and I'd join them in the divorce.
A good, strong young woman is what you
want. Yes, that'd do the work outside.
Yeah, yes. And other than that?
Well, I wouldn't know. It is very hard for a fellow to know what's coming tomorrow. I try to live away where I am until I suppose that time is just now. God help us all. That's all we can say. And go to hospital for now much.
My name is Jeremiah Dineen and she's Kilgarvin. So I couldn't tell what will become the place in a few... It can't be so many years. It can't be so long more. We don't know how long it will be. But it can't be... And our best neighbour, sister, it can't be many years.
No,
it can't be, no.
No,
you know, the age we are like.
Yeah.
You see? So I couldn't tell what will become of the place, you see. I couldn't, if I tell you, if I could, if I had knowledge. But... anyway, I suppose it will be either sold or else one of the brother's children will be the owner. I couldn't say which, you know. But then you see, there was a will made, all right, but I didn't get the will registered and it didn't stand still then, you see. There are five of us there, aren't there? You and your sister, both this man up there, Napoleon Cheese, I and Dennis and Patrick.
Your case is not an individual case. There must be many other people in the valley.
Oh,
the same
several,
situation.
Several cases. Yeah. Several cases in the valley, like, you
so
know.
What would you see the future of the valley?
Well, the future of the valley of the most of those farms, I mean, you know, the people know that had married in those farms, like, how done to the farms. Of course, they're the owner of the farms, like me, I'm different. They have them sold to the forestry. The forestry are the best buyers, they called away.
So you can see a lot of empty houses here?
Oh, any amount of empty houses, any amount.
I went to see the world's rage when only 16 years of age. As steer its passage I engaged a ship called Iron Duke. I went on board at Dublin's wall, being southward bound for the Transvaal. I had a friend from Owneskull and one from Donnybrook. When our noble ship thus scarcely steamed and through my mind sad memories gleamed, I thought of my good neighbours and their loving company. I thought of my dear brother and our love for one another and Anna White, her mother, in that beauty spot Glenlea.
What is life like here?
Life here is, I'll tell you what life here to me now, you're living all right, and so do I, like here, where I would be born, you see, it's just like a lamb will be reared on the side of the mountain, that the lamb can't, that he'd like to come back to the place in a few years to come, like, but to the way with me now, if I was born in Dublin City or Cork or any town or any place, I couldn't live out in the country at all. But when I'm born out in the country, see, I hate to live in a town where I would be born and reared. That's how I imagine it is.
How far have you travelled outside the glen?
I never travelled outside the glen. I never went out working or anything like that. But I'll tell you how far I travelled once in my life anyway. It's about 3 or 4 years ago. I had an abscess, appendicitis or something. And I was transferred from Tralee Hospital, St. Catherine's Hospital in Tralee, to St. Kevin's Hospital in Dublin. That's the farthest I ever traveled in my life. That's the only time I was ever in Dublin. Once and once only in my life. So I thought the people in Dublin were very nice people. That's what I could say about them anyway. Well, the traffic frightened me anyway. The traffic and the way they cycle, there out in that circular road, my heavens, this traffic, and cycling through the crowd, just the same as they would just outside that in the road where there's no traffic. The traffic, I know, there's cyclists, you know, they're where they fly, yeah?
Now, Ger, you have, in fact, no running water in the house at all. You have to get this... you're getting the water, actually, from the mountain.
It comes off the eastern side of the high cliff there up, and she's coming all along, down away, down into this bucket, and there now in August, September last, in the fine weather... the stream was completely dry, so they dried the kitchen floor inside. There was no water at all for 2 months, so we wouldn't offer where they put the tea water. So the brother would go over with his white enamel bucket over across the river and over and halfway between the river and the Auburn Road, and there was a running stream there that never runs dry. It's class of spring water, like, so that we never used the river water for tea. This is our tea water, like, because the river down below, I wouldn't approve it all, because there are lots of, you know, dead animals and things like that, and sheep and things like that get drowned, and there are rats along the river. Then you see they're stopped in the banks, you understand? And it's dangerous to use it. I wouldn't use it.
Well, we're in the cow house here, and the cow house is actually attached to the dwelling house.
That is right, yeah.
How common is that in the area?
Well, it's pretty common around here. Mostly houses, nearly all the houses in this valley, except where the new houses put up in recent years, are all attached to the dwelling house.
Why is this?
Oh, I think it's going back to the olden days. I think the older people used to like to keep the cows pretty warm and have them under the same roof as the dwelling house, if possible.
Do you think it actually does keep them warm, having them...
I know, well, it's possibly keeps them warm, all right, but I think it's a very, very bad idea, actually. They're much better off to be way out on their own altogether somewhere. Because you have silage and so forth around the door, well, you have the smell of the silage and everything during the daylight.
How many houses in the locality would, in fact, like this one, have the cow house attached to the main dwelling house?
About five, I suppose. Six.
In the valley?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Mm. And how long back do you think it's going?
Oh, I should say about 80 to 100 years or something.
Mrs. Armstrong, you, in fact, live in a very beautiful place in here. Could you describe it for us? It's in the valley of Glenlea. You live in a house in here in the middle of a big wood or a plantation.
Well, it's there are a lot of rocks here, you know, as you go up. It's full of rocks, but amongst them all is planted all these rhododendrons. And then there are a lot of... you get the wildlife,
Woodcock.
We get rabbits. We get ordinary rabbits. I got one in a trap. Lee Simon got one in a trap there the other day, and then we've built up the house there, and we have our own vegetables and a certain amount, a few flowers as well.
And you also have the birds
different
woods.
Wildlife. We have the woodcock and there are a certain amount of pheasants too. There used to be partridge, but there are no partridge now. And we have had the ordinary flowers and vegetation as well. And
what's the shooting like here in the woods?
Well, the little there is, it's quite good, but there's not as much. Of course, there used to be far more. It's a thing that you need to have men on hand to be watching, you know. You need to have the gamekeepers really there if you're going to have the really good game. But I don't go into the gamekeepers, games, the keepers. We can't manage it these days.
Do people port your game, do you think?
Oh, some of them do. Yes, they're inclined. We have deer here as well, some of the deer, and sometimes they're inclined to poach those. But taking on the whole, they're not as bad as they used to be with the game, as a matter of fact. And then, of course, we have the fishing here as well. They come up at the gate, but there are not very many salmon now. There used to be far more. But they don't come up so much. It's late. The Rooks is a very late river. You get a lot of them coming up late in the season, but that's usually about August or September we get them. They're pretty late.
How big is the estate here? It's actually a whole... You own a town land here in...
Yes. Well, there's about a thousand acres. But, of course, it sounds a lot, but a thousand acres of rock is very different to a thousand acres of very good land, you know, isn't it?
You keep bees...
Yes, we have some of the bees, but I don't do a great deal with that. That's more Simon's province. I give him a hand with them, you know, but I look upon him more as a bee man. We get lovely honey up here, the heather honey. You see, we get it during a good year. We get lovely. There's lovely heather round here, you see, up in the mountain.
I think we'll try Mangerton today. There's right, a lot of snow up the top, and we'll try a few breaks then, anyway.
Well, Leo said he's in Trimdar last Sunday, so there'd be a good chance that we might have a couple of them today.
We'll try
to be a good place to go anyway.
Anyway.
Oh, I can't but fail, but we'd like to go somewhere. We'd be sure to get one anyway, or two or something.
We'll get four or five anyway,
I hope we will.
Oh yeah, that's what we're going to go with.
Yeah,
so they have their own dogs, if that's the story.
Yeah, so we'll manage anyway. There'll be no force there anyway. So
they will, but if they had a few terriers or a few sheepdogs, if they had brought their own dogs.
They're not poisoned by and they can't poison and kill them.
Oh yeah.
So they're bringing their own dogs.
So, we'll try to collect that anyway, so we'll surely get something.
My name is Patrick Cronin. I'm a sheep farmer up in the mountains. Well, sheep farming today is a pleasure to be, we'll say, around now, for wool is at a good price and sheep are making good money. Well, the fox is one of our greatest enemies, I suppose, in sheep farming. We are doing our best to try and keep him down. Year after year, we're killing out half so many foxes. In this area here now, we have about over 100 foxes done away with in a short period of time. Is one of the best ways of doing away with foxes is strychnine. And how we use strychnine is the safest way to use it is on fish. If we put strychnine on carcasses such as dead lambs and old worn out sheep and that, we'll have the crows and you have stray dogs and all coming along to have a feed, which they won't ever again go home, of course. Well, by just using fish, it's only the fox alone that'll take it. It seems the fox and the cat are almost nearly one family. The cat is very anxious for fish too, and for that reason, I suppose, that's why we use fish for the fox. Now, the fox is supposed to be a very, very clever animal, we are told, but I think he is too, but he haven't very many ways of living, only to try and live in Morton. And for my own experience, I know that it will cost about £300 to feed a fox during the lambing season.
There he goes over there, look in the bush.
Well, that was one of the cleverest foxes I ever met, I suppose. And he almost had me doing away with it altogether in the line of hens and turkeys and lambs. He wouldn't take away any bait, no matter what I put out, honey or eggs even. I tried him with everything. But I finally got an idea and I set up this, I suppose, booby trap. I engineered it out of setting up a gun. I fitted the gun into this little valley where he could, where he always walked on. And I got the string onto the trigger. And the other end of the string went on to a very, very old hen that was much more used. I tied her legs and left her lie there for the night. So the fox came along sometime that night and he picked up his hen as she was alive, of course. And as he made a move to take her away, he pulled the string and the very, very clever fox, he automatically shot himself.
I really started by a mistake getting such a large piece of wood, because to try and make an oar out of a piece of 3-inch by 3-inch is a long job, especially when it's only a small oar, because it's got to be down to about 2 inches square. But on the whole, I like doing this sort of thing. It's great fun.
What do you intend to do with the boat? You're making a boat here now.
Yeah, what I intend to do with the boat is I want to try and go to each island in turn in the Kenmare estuary and spend a night on it if I can, doing a bit of fishing and messing around. Because there's nothing like messing around in the mud with a boat. It's great fun. It really is. We also like shellfish, you know, mussels, lobsters, crab, if we can get them. I even managed to salvage a lobster pot once, and we fixed it up, and now it's, you know, we hope to dump that over the back of the boat too. Yeah, as you can see by the house, the house really needs a lot to be done to it still. Even though we've managed to put into a small bathroom, without planning permission, I might add, which we'll have to get at a later date when we put in the bathroom we must specify on the plans. Because I also want to put a workshop in the rear of the cottage, so that I can do the boat in more comfort. Because this lounge will then be part of the cottage. When we first arrived here, the cows had got in through the front door, which had been knocked in, because the place hadn't been lived in for 9 years, so you can imagine the sort of state it was in. The roof was leaking in several places, the chimney had collapsed, the bedrooms were in a terrible state due to a cow that managed to climb the stairs and get into the bedroom and wreak havoc.
You've got a lot of ducks out there. Tell me about the ducks.
Oh, yeah. The ducks are great. They're really smashing, they are. We couldn't do without the ducks now we've got them. They are a bit of a tire sometimes, but when you get the eggs, you know, when you go out the eggs, it's really a surprise to see a couple of eggs in the straw. And they're smashing, they are. They're much bigger than the hen's egg, too.
I'm head duckminder, gardener, general maintenance lady. I'm the lady who goes up in the loft when there's a leak in the plumbing to find out what's happened before Phil comes home, so he won't have to see what it is. So I'm up with my plumber's tape and my climbing boots in the loft. And I'm generally in a quiet sort of way enjoying myself. We had what we thought was a well enclosed duck pen with a fenced in top as well, and we'd been a bit lazy about it because we knew there were foxes around, but we hadn't seen any signs. And then we lost our daddy Drake over a month ago, and so we put glass all around the edge and we really pegged down the ends of the fence and everything, and it, by all accounts, he can't get in now. You know, we can see signs where he's tried to push his way in, and there's sort of poke marks all the way around, and one of the ducks got bit in the bottom.
Yeah, lost a few feathers, didn't it?
Yeah, but it didn't do her any harm. But we're so fond of them, we could never even eat them. There's no way we could eat them now. I'm afraid we're a bit soft. So there are times when I'm awake at night wondering if the fox has come, when you hear strange noises and things, which must the locals must think we're absolutely off our heads. Convinced. Yeah. You know, we took a duck to the vet with a sore foot, and he was absolutely amazed. He said, "You'd never, no one would ever take a duck to the vet." And when we had a gander die, we sent him off to the veterinary research place in Cork to have a post-mortem, because we didn't know what had happened, and the vet said they probably got about one gander every 20 years.
And as then we'll be setting the garden and turning your champs of ban, you've taken a trip to Kilgarvin, myself and the teller ban.
We're five. Card playing was another thing that was very common. And people used to gather in different houses and play cards. And there's a tradition in my own family. My mother was regarded in Tralee as a very good 31 player. And this comes, I think, from, you know, having played 31 from a very early age and having watched it. I'm immodest enough to think that I'm a reasonably good 31 player myself.
Hold on now, we're 16.
We're 21.
My name is Tom Munnelly. I work for the folklore department for the folk music division. My main interest is songs, and I've been collecting songs around the country for the last 6 years for the folklore department. So I was in Glenlee there late last year, and when I get to an area like Glenlee or Kilgarvin, which I didn't know anybody in the place. So when I arrive, I first of all put out feelers and try and get leads in the area in general. I set off, and I was in the valley for about 2 hours when I met a family of Deneans. Ger Deneen, Sailor, that's Dennis Deneen, and Nora. And calling at their house around 10 o'clock in the morning, they didn't know me from Adam. But before I left that house, I'd recorded about 20 songs, you know, straight off the blue, a total stranger walking in. Oh, they had all sorts of songs. They had songs like the songs of Johnny Nora A, the local poet. They had quite a lot of ballads which had gone into the tradition from the English broadside tradition. We had one or two of the old English classic ballads, but predominantly their repertoire was made of local songs. That poet, Johnny Nora A, he has the distinction of being the only poet I know who has that many songs in current oral tradition, not alone on the Cork-Kerry border, but all over Kerry, up through Clare, and as more people have become interested in the songs of this area, they spread throughout the country. A lot of the songs that he wrote were about events in the valley, be they making of potsheen or local dances. In this, it shares patterns with the type of local song made throughout the country. But there are very few people who had the sort of skill that Johnny Nora had when he came to putting verses together, or as he put it in his own words, making and shaping rhymes. And there's songs like Murchin Went to Banan and The Tailor Bon, which are known throughout the country for the best possible reason, that they're damn fine songs.
To invest my capital, I thought a good idea. Quite often meditation made me drop my speculation and go home for recreation to the beauty spot, Glenlee. I can't go no further.